Matthew chapter 5 is where we're going to be tonight, and we have been bearing down on this truth over the past couple weeks, and I want to stay on it again tonight. And I'm not trying to be overbearing by any means, I'm not trying to be repetitious, but I believe it's an important truth that we continue to bear down on this subject matter of continuing to say what God has already said. And whatever the subject matter is, and I know we spoke a couple Sundays ago, the subject matter was very specific about Sodom and Gomorrah in Genesis chapter 18 and 19, and we haven't been on a specific subject matter per se in the other messages, but we've specifically fixed our attention upon that truth, the truth that we need to continue to say what God says. We need to sharpen. We need to be sharpened in our soundness. That's what we spoke about last Wednesday night. And then this past Sunday, Sunday morning, we spoke. And I believe probably the foundation of that truth is what we spoke Sunday morning, that God cannot lie. And if God cannot, then I can. If God cannot lie, then I can continue to say what God has already said. Because God cannot lie. And so if He has said something, then I can repeat it because He cannot lie. And then Sunday night we spoke about restoring order in Titus chapter number 1. And the reason we need to restore order is because there are men who are subversive. There are mouths that must be stopped in Titus chapter 1. And our message must be sound. Sound. It must be healthy. It must be stable. It must be without error. And so tonight, I want us to look here in Matthew chapter number 5. Now, by the way, the truths that I'm going to give you tonight, we have looked at these before, but it's been many, many years ago, if my notes are correct. And so tonight, I want to bring these back to our minds tonight. And I want to focus on two verses here in Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. By the way, we know the context. The Lord Jesus Christ is getting ready to begin the Sermon on the Mount in chapters 5, 6, and 7. But he begins, or the Bible begins, in verses 1 and 2. Here's the truth, and we look in the New Testament. Let me ask you this. How many of you have a red letter edition Bible? Okay. What does that mean? In the New Testament, a lot of the words are in red because he did. The Lord Jesus Christ spoke those words while He was here upon earth. But can I give you a truth tonight? Every bit of the Bible is red letter edition because He said it all. The Bible said from Genesis 1 to Revelation chapter 22, He said it all. The Bible says in John 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And in verse number 14 of that same chapter of John 1, the Bible says, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." It's all the Word of the Lord Jesus Christ. I have a Bible. Most of my Bibles are red letter edition, but I have one Bible, the Bible that I read out of every day. It's not. It's just all black letters. And that helps me because when I get to the New Testament, I'm a little more focused or fixed when I'm reading and I'm not relying upon my red letter edition to show me where Christ has spoken. And we need to, and I know we know that, but every now and then we need to be reminded, look, it's all the Word of the Lord Jesus Christ, not just the red letters in the New Testament, every single bit of it. And so look here in Matthew chapter 5, and let's look at verses 1 and 2. And get us started tonight. It is imperative and it is vital that we continue to say what God has said. I'm going to tell you what, dear friend, we are losing our children. We're losing them. I say our children, I'm not talking about our children per se, I'm talking about the children of our nation. We're losing them. I was on the van tonight and Brother Mac's going to ride the van afterward tonight. He's going to relieve me. But no, here's what I wanted to say. I was on the van tonight and a couple of the kids were talking about Halloween. And they're like, "Pastor, you know Halloween's on Sunday?" I say, "Yeah, that's great. I'm glad." And one of the kids made the statement. He said, "You know," and they were talking, and this is an older kid, and they were talking about the city of Ripley. And they said, "Yeah, the city of Ripley, they said that most of the kids should do Halloween on Saturday because it's not fair that Halloween is on Sunday." This is what she said. I said, "What do you mean it's not fair?" She said, "It's not fair to Jesus." Shouldn't it be the other way? Shouldn't we live in such a society that people say, "I don't care if it's Halloween or Sunday or not, I'm going to church." And her point was, it's not fair to Jesus because more people are going to be out trick-or-treating on Sunday than they're going to go to church. And I just sat there and thought, oh my goodness. And I did say something else too, but I'll keep that to myself because I don't know how everybody feels in here tonight. Matthew chapter number 5. I may have some parents calling me tonight when we take the kids home, but that'll be okay. Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. The Bible, it wasn't anything bad. It was truth. It was truth. People don't like to hear truth, though. Verses 1 and 2, the Bible says, "And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying." And the Bible says he opened his mouth and taught them, saying. Now, by the way, we're not going to look at the Sermon on the Mount tonight, but we've looked at that before. We looked at that a number of years ago. We took several months, if not almost a whole year, and went through chapters 5, 6, and 7 of the Sermon on the Mount. And by the way, powerful message. Truth. But my point tonight, and what I want us to fix our attention on tonight, is verse 2, is specifically this: he opened his mouth and taught them. So tonight I want to bring you a message entitled, "When Christ Speaks." What happens when Christ speaks? When Christ speaks. I looked this week because I was getting ready for tonight, and I Googled, because you know Google's always right, but I Googled the most sought after commencement speakers in America. And I asked that question to Google: who are the most sought after commencement speakers in America? And let me give you the top five. So, two or three of these you're not going to be surprised, and I wasn't surprised either. We're not talking about Christian colleges. These would be individuals who... Now, some of them do speak at Christian colleges, God help, but these would be individuals who go and speak at secular colleges at commencement ceremonies. The number one, who do you think the number one was? Not number one, but we'll get him in just a minute. No? No, Oprah Winfrey. Okay, she was number one. Who do you think number two was? Now, this one surprised me. Somebody may not even know who this guy is. Number two is Richard Branson. He is the president, the founder, the CEO of Virgin Airlines, very wealthy man. Richard Branson was number two. Who do you think number three was? President Obama. That doesn't surprise me. The last two surprise me. Number four is Will Smith. And if you don't know who that is, praise God. Number five is Ashton Kutcher. And if you don't know who that is, praise God. But number five, commencement ceremony speakers. And these are who our colleges, our institutions of higher learning are asking, who are, they're seeking for them to come and speak to their graduates about their future. Now, who do we need to listen to? Who do we need to hear speak other than Oprah Winfrey and Richard Branson. And I'm not saying that none of these individuals ever have anything good to say, but who do... might be hard-pressed to find anything good that they ever have to say, but who do our young people, who do we need to hear speak? It's the Lord Jesus Christ. And boy, we flock for celebrities to hear them speak. And boy, people spend thousands of dollars to hear certain people speak and to hear motivational speakers. And the Bible says in Matthew chapter 5, verse number 2, "And He opened His mouth and taught them." And tonight, not only do we need to listen, to be still and listen to what He has to say, but we need to continue to say the same things that He is saying. And tonight I want to bring you a message entitled, "When Christ Speaks." And I want to give you five things that happens when Christ speaks. And by the way, of course, this is by no means all-inclusive. I'm just giving you five truths from the Word tonight that hopefully will be a good reminder, will be a help to us tonight. I'm not here tonight to say that any secular person never has anything helpful to say. That's not my point tonight. But my point is that Jesus Christ has everything helpful to say, and we need to listen. And then when we listen, we need to repeat, we need to rehearse, we need to recite everything that He says, and just continue to say it. Let's pray and ask God to help tonight. I'll give you these real quickly tonight. Father, we sure do love You tonight. We're so grateful for Your goodness. Father, I pray that with all of our gratefulnesses and thanksgivings, that one of those is Your Word. Father, I hope tonight, and I know this to be true, I believe this to be true, that if we went around tonight and asked everyone to give a list of what they're thankful for, I would believe that Your Word would be very close to the top. Because, Father, without it, we would not know how to walk in this life. We would not know how to be saved. We would not know how to live in this world. And, Father, we're so grateful tonight for Your Word. And, Father, we need to be sharpened in our message. We need to be sound in our message. Father, we just need to continue to say what You have said. And, Father, I pray that You would continue to remind us of that. Father, people need to hear the truth. People are hearing... Father, little ones, children are hearing a lot of error, and they need to hear the truth. They need to hear what Your Word says. They need to hear that which is most important. And so, Father, I do pray tonight that they are, in fact, hearing that from their teachers, from their Master Club books. I know they are. And, Father, I pray that tonight is just another night to have the Word of God placed into their minds and their hearts. Father, there's so much of this world that is placed into their minds and hearts during the week. And Father, I know it's just a little, but Father, I'm thankful for the hour and a half that we have the opportunity to place the Word of God in their hearts and their minds. And Father, I pray that that Word of God would take root. Father, I pray that that Word of God would change their lives. I pray that that Word of God would overcome all of the wickedness and all the error that they hear during the week. And so, Lord, thank You for Your Word tonight. Help us and teach us. Father, be with those that are sick tonight, those that are away from us. Some may be traveling. Others may be working right now. Lord, we pray that You'd help them, watch over them in a special way. Father, we'll thank You and praise You for it. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Number one tonight, when Christ speaks, number one, wisdom is communicated. When Christ speaks, number one tonight, I'm going to have you go to a few places tonight, not a ton, but a few places tonight. Let me read you a little bit in Psalm chapter 19, if I could. Number one tonight, when Christ speaks, what happens? And that's what I want to give us tonight. I want to give you five things that happen when Christ speaks. Number one, wisdom is communicated. That's the reason the Word of God needs to be taught to our children. That's the reason the Word of God needs to be read to our children. That's the reason the Word of God needs to be taught in our Sunday school classes and in Master Club. Why? Because when Christ speaks, and that's what happens when they're hearing a Sunday school lesson, Christ is speaking. When they're hearing the Word of God read, Christ is speaking to them because this is Christ's Word. What happens when Christ speaks? First of all, tonight, wisdom is communicated. The Bible says in Psalm 19, verse number 7, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making what?" Anybody know the rest of that verse? "Making wise the simple." So what happens when Christ speaks? Well, first of all, wisdom is communicated. Wisdom to go from a simple person to a wise person. By the way, wisdom to go to a lost from a lost person to a saved person. The Bible tells, and we know this, and we've heard this verse a number of times, even recently. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 15, "And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to do what? Make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." We know verses 16 and 17. "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, mature, if you will, throughly furnished unto all good works." See, when Christ speaks, wisdom is communicated to us. When we will listen to the Word of God, when we will read the Word of God, when we will listen to the Sunday school teacher, when we will listen to, not we, but when our children will listen to their master club teacher, when we read the Word of God at home, when we read the Word of God in our own quiet time, wisdom is communicated. It helps us to know how to be saved. It helps us to know how to live on a daily basis. It helps us to be perfected. It helps us to be equipped. It helps us to be furnished unto all good works, that the man of God may be perfect, spiritually mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. We know what that word furnished means, don't we? We do. How many of your homes are furnished? Sure they are. Now, there may be, you might like to put more things in there, and you might like to redecorate every now and then. You might like to change the pictures or change the curtains every now and then, but it's furnished. There might be another piece of furniture that you might like to put in there, but it's furnished. Now, let me ask us tonight, spiritually speaking, are our lives furnished so that we can live and do good works and do that which is right for the Lord Jesus Christ? It can be, because this is what furnishes it. Verse 16, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished." It's the Word of God. So what happens when Christ speaks? Wisdom is communicated. You ever thought, well, you know, boy, we have family time with our kids, but I just don't think my kids are getting it. Listen, they're getting it. Every time we read the words of Christ, every time we read the Word of God to our children, wisdom is being communicated. It's being communicated to them. And there are many times we think, boy, they're not getting it. Hey, many times you may think your adult Sunday school class may not be getting it. But whether you think they're getting it or not, wisdom is being communicated. God's Word, the Word of Christ, is being communicated, teaching people how to be saved, teaching people how to live. What happens when Christ speaks? Number one, wisdom is communicated. Number two, the worlds are created. What happens when Christ speaks? Wisdom is communicated. Number two, the worlds are created. Here's the point tonight. It's the power of the Word of the Lord Jesus Christ. And listen, dear friend, tonight, if the Word of Jesus Christ, just spoken, can create the worlds, then what can it do in a life that's not saved? What can it do in a life that is away from God? The Bible says in Genesis chapter number 1, verse 1, the Bible says, "In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. The Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters." Notice verse 3. And God, what's the next word? Said. And God said, "Let there be light." And what happened? What does the Bible say? And there was light. What happens when Christ speaks? Wisdom is communicated. What happens when Christ speaks? The world is created. Look a little bit further, if you would. Look at verse 6 of Genesis 1, if you're there. The Bible says, "And God said, Let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. In verse 6, He said it. In verse 7, it was so. Verse number 9, and God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. Verse 11, and God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. Verse number 14, and God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven and to give light upon the earth. And it was so. Verse number 20, and God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life and fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. And God created great wells in every living creature and that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw that it was good. Verse number 24, and God said, let the earth bring forth a living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping thing, and beast of the earth after his kind. And it was so. Verse 20, and God said, Let us make man in our image after our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him. Male and female created He them. By the way, this is one of the tragedies of abortion, is that these little individuals are being created in the image of God and we're taking their lives. What happens when Christ speaks? Number one, wisdom is communicated. Number two, the worlds are created. Number three, what happens when Christ speaks? Take your Bibles and go to John chapter 14, if you would. Number three, the worried are calm. The worried are calmed. Number one, wisdom is communicated. Number two, the worlds are created. Number three, the worried are calmed. You see, when I look around at everything that's going on in our nation, it doesn't make me panic. It doesn't make me nervous, because all I have to do is go to the Word of God, and the Word of God calms me. Because here's the truth, all I need to do is just keep saying what God has already said. It doesn't matter what Mr. So-and-so said or Mrs. So-and-so said. It doesn't matter what they say. It doesn't matter their opinion, because it doesn't matter my opinion. It only matters what God has already said. And so when Christ speaks, the worried are calmed. John chapter 14, you know the passage. Verse number 1, the Bible says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, truth and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus Christ is getting ready to go to the cross. He's getting ready to ascend back to heaven 40 days after that. And the Bible says, let not your heart be troubled. Here Christ is speaking to His disciples. He says, look, don't be troubled about the fact that I'm getting ready to die. Don't be troubled about the fact that I'm getting ready to go back. Let not your heart be troubled, because I'm coming back. And I'm coming back for you. And by the way, while I'm gone, preparing a place for you. Look what verse 18 says. Verse 18 says, I will not. I'm going, yes, and I'm going back to heaven, yes. I will not leave you what? comfortless. I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I'm not going to leave you by yourself. I will come to you. Who's he speaking about? Speaking about the Holy Spirit. He said, I will not leave you comfortless. Look at verse 27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth. By the way, if you ever visited Miss Othonel, she'll quote this verse to you. She's got this verse down pat. She, not just this one either, but this is one of her favorites. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. What happens when Christ speaks? Wisdom is communicated. The worlds are created. The worried are calmed. Look at John chapter number 16. John chapter number 16, verse 33. Jesus Christ says, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world, what are you going to have? Tribulation. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. See, what happens when Christ speaks and when we actually listen to Him speak? The worried are calmed. Now, you say, well, Pastor, I know a lot of worried Christians today. That's because they're not listening. Doesn't mean Christ hasn't already spoken, and it doesn't mean He's not still speaking. It just means they're not listening. Because when Christ speaks and we listen, He says, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. Oh yeah, in the world, you're going to have tribulation. In the world, you're going to have trouble. In the world, look, the world is nothing but chaos. And if I fix my attention upon the chaos, I'm not going to have peace. We mentioned this a couple weeks ago. Many times we have our eyes on the circumstance instead of having our eyes on the God of the circumstance. Many times we get our eyes on the chaos and the trouble and the tribulation instead of having our eyes upon the one who can give peace during all of that. The worried are calmed. Hey, what happened in the boat when Christ and His disciples are out in the boat and the storm comes up? Let me ask, were they worried? Oh, just a little bit. By the way, the Bible says the boat was full. And the Bible says that He floated a boat that was full of water. He floated it all the way across to the other side. What does a full boat usually do? It sinks. Those disciples were scared, weren't they? But what happened when He spoke? The Bible says the seas and the winds and the waves were calm. What happens when the storm is raging around me, but I'm in the presence of Almighty God and I'm listening to Him? He calms all the storm. Now, the storm may still be there. The problem, the situation, the circumstance may still be there. But He calms me where I'm at, because I'm in His presence. And we say it all the time, but I say it because one of these days when I'm gone, I want other people to be able to say it. Peace is not found in the absence of troubles. It's found in the presence of God. It's not found in the absence of trouble. Because many times we get in trouble and we're like, God, take the trouble away. No. God wants to give us peace through the trouble. He wants to take us through it. He wants to take us right through the middle of it, over it. He wants to take us through it and give us peace while we're going through it. So number one, what happens when Christ speaks? Wisdom is communicated. Look, that's why this is so important. It just is. It always comes back to this. Because through this, wisdom is communicated. Not the world's wisdom, But spiritual wisdom, God's wisdom, is communicated. What happens when Christ speaks? The worlds are created. What happens when Christ speaks? The worried are calmed. Let me give you number four. Would you look at Luke chapter number four? Luke chapter number four. Actually, no. Go to Matthew first. Let's do them in order. Matthew chapter number nine. Number four, when Christ speaks, the wounded are cured. When Christ speaks, the wounded are cured. Matthew chapter number 9, we'll begin in verse number 2. The Bible says, "And behold, they brought to Him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. And behold, certain of the scribes said within themselves, This man blasphemeth. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, Wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? For whether is easier to say, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise and walk? Which is easier?" It's easier to say, Thy sins be forgiven thee. And we've seen this passage in the other gospel records before, but they asked the same question, which is easier? Christ said, is it easier for me to say, Thy sins be forgiven thee? Or is it easier for me to say, Arise, take up thy bed and walk? Which would be easier, to say, Thy sins be forgiven thee? Because He doesn't have to prove that. Nobody would know. How would anybody know? They can't see somebody's heart. But notice what He says. Verse 6 says, "But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, then saith He to the sick of the palsy, Arise, take up thy bed and go unto thine house." He said, hey, I'm going to prove that what I say is real. Because I could say, Thy sins be forgiven thee, and none of you would know because you can't see the man's heart. But if I say, Arise, take up thy bed and walk, something better happen. I'm having to prove myself right here. And notice what the Bible says in verse 7, "And he arose and departed to his house. When the multitude saw it, they marveled and glorified God, which had given such power unto men." When Christ speaks, the wounded are cured. Look back at chapter 8. I said I was going to go in order, but let's go back for this one. Matthew chapter 8, verse number 5, the wounded are cured. Verse number 5 of chapter 8, "And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home, sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, Go, and he goeth, and to another, Come, and he cometh, and to my servant, Do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled, and said to them that followed, Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and west, and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven, but the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus said unto the centurion, Go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee." He didn't even have to go. He just spoke, and his servant was healed. The Bible says in verse 13, "And his servant was healed in the self same hour." What happens when Christ speaks? The wounded are cured. And by the way, I know today that, look, we don't believe in men who can walk up and touch someone and heal. But I do still believe, and I believe you do as well, that God can heal anybody He wants to. And all He has to do is speak. But let's apply it a little further to us tonight. We may not have physical wounds. It may not be a physical wound that needs to be healed tonight. Maybe tonight it's an emotional wound. Maybe tonight it's a spiritual wound. And all Christ has to do is speak through His Word. And the Bible speaks about Him applying that balm of Gilead. The Bible speaks about Him binding us up. He binds up our wounds and He heals us. You know, if you're hurting emotionally tonight, and I would dare say probably there's probably a good number in here tonight that may be hurting emotionally, you know what heals that wound? It's when Christ speaks. It's when Christ speaks and we listen. It's when Christ speaks and He says, I am your refuge, I am your strength, I am a very present help in trouble. I am your strong tower. I am the rock of ages. By the way, we're going to get to Psalm 61. Psalm 61, the psalmist speaks about Christ being the rock that is higher than I. The rock that is higher than I. What happens when Christ speaks? Number one, wisdom is communicated. Number two, the worlds are created. Hey, but let me back up and say this again tonight. Let me pound on this just for a second. When Christ speaks, all of this happens, but when Christ speaks, we have to listen. We have to listen. You see, wisdom's not going to be communicated to me if I don't listen. I have to listen. When Christ speaks, wisdom is communicated. When Christ speaks, the worlds are created. When Christ speaks, the worried are calmed. Many Christians live today in a state of worry, not because they have to, but because they choose to. Because they're not listening to Christ. No, I want to stay in my state of worry all the time. Instead of allowing Christ and His Word to calm us. Let me give you number five. Look at Luke 23. Luke 23 real quickly. Brother Mac, you sure you don't want to ride the van? Number five tonight, when Christ speaks, the wicked are cleansed. When Christ speaks, number one, wisdom is communicated. Number two, the worlds are created. Number three, the worried are calmed. Number four, the wounded are cured. And number five, when Christ speaks, the wicked are cleansed. Luke chapter 23, verse 39, the Bible says, and one of the malefactors which were hanged, railed on him, saying, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. He said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said, Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. What happens when Christ speaks? The wicked are cleansed. Today shalt thou be with me in paradise. You see how powerful His voice is? You see how powerful His words are? And if they're that powerful, and if He cannot lie, then we need to keep saying what He has already said. Whatever the subject matter is. When Christ speaks, the worlds are created. If He's that powerful, then we need to keep saying what He has already said. When Christ speaks, the wicked are cleansed. And if the Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, then we need to just keep giving that message. We don't need to change that. We don't need to change it and add something to it and say, well, I think we need to add baptism, or, boy, it sounds a little bit... Hey, we could probably get them to come to church a little bit more if we added works to salvation. If we told them, hey, if you don't come to church, you're going to go to hell. That might get them to come, mightn't it? But it's not true. It's not true. It'll help them. It'll make their lives better. But it has nothing to do with whether they're saved or not. Because when Christ speaks, the wicked are cleansed. When Christ on the cross of Calvary said, "It is finished," it made available to every man, woman, boy, or girl to simply call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and be cleansed from their sin. When Christ speaks, that's how powerful He is. And so what He has spoken, God help us to keep speaking it. When Christ speaks, by the way, there are many, many other things that happen other than just the five things we spoke about tonight. When Christ speaks, the wicked are cleansed. That's why we don't have to sneak up on people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Well, we'll try to reach them with lifestyle evangelism. I'm all for you living a life that shows people how to be saved. I'm for that. But we need to open our mouths too. In all of Christ's ministry, let me ask you this tonight, and we're done. In all of Christ's ministry, in all of the New Testament, how many times did Jesus have somebody come to Him and say, "I want to come to you because I've watched you how you have lived. I've watched how you have lived, and I want what you have." Now, I'm for that. I'm for you living in such a way that other people see there's a difference in you. I'm for that. But the vast majority of people aren't going to come and say, "Hey, I want what you have." No. They're going to get saved when we go with a good testimony, but then we go with the Word of God and we show them what the Bible says about being saved. The Bible says faith cometh by hearing, and hearing not by my lifestyle and my testimony, but hearing by the Word of God. Is your testimony important? Absolutely. Don't misunderstand what I'm trying to say right there. But we've got a lot of people preaching today, lifestyle evangelism, lifestyle evangelism, lifestyle evangelism. Hey, don't ever confront somebody with a tract. That just pushes people away. Mm-mm. People need someone to go face-to-face, one-on-one with them. Say, "Hey, can I tell you about my Savior?" Now they may say, "Yeah, you know, I notice you live a little different." Yeah, let me tell you why. It's because of my Savior. What Christ has spoken, may we keep speaking. And God help us with that tonight. Father, we love You. Father, we're so grateful for Your goodness tonight. Father, we're thankful for Your Word. And Father, we're thankful that what You have spoken, Father, we can keep saying. Father, because of the power of what You have spoken, because of the power of Your Word, because of the power of Your voice, Father, we can keep saying what You have already said. And Father, I pray that You'll drive that truth deep into our hearts. Because, Father, we live in a world that wants to silence what You have said, that wants to silence Your messengers from saying what You have already said. And Father, help us not to be silenced. Help us to see the power that is encompassed, that is captured in Your words. And Father, help us to go forth with that same power, simply saying what You have already said. Father, be with us during our time of prayer tonight. Father, I pray that You'd intercede for us. And Father, we pray for this in Christ's name. Amen. Listen, it's 8:00, but if you can stay.